Hey, everybody.
Hi.
The Misfits Podcast.
What was that?
You know,
that was awesome.
I feel like mixing things up every time now.
I love your experimental introductions.
What can I say? Today's episode of the podcast is sponsored by Sophie Hallowell. She rated us 5 stars on iTunes, guys. Wow, this is fantastic.
Thank you, Sophie.
I was listening to this in class, and my teacher said, "Want to play your music to the whole class?" And I just ran. I regret it so much. Not a bad call there, Sophie. I would not recommend playing this podcast in front of your whole class. I'm joined today by my co-hosts, iNotorious, a.k.a. Matt.
What'd it do?
That was a bit late, man. A little bit late there. Just saying.
Sorry, got a bit of lag over here.
Oh my god. McCreamy, a.k.a. Jay.
What's going on?
Toby. Just Toby.
My dad's a doctor.
He is. And also joined today by Swagger Souls, a.k.a. Eric Vivian Matthews.
Hey, my dad's a rocket scientist.
Tell me about that, Eric. How'd your dad get into being a rocket scientist?
He went to college for rocket science.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah.
How was that?
He graduated with a degree in rocket science, and now he's a rocket scientist.
Get out of town. A rocket scientist?
Yeah.
Oh, it's hardly rocket science. Ina, what is your... Wait, is your dad actually a rocket scientist?
Technically, yes, but he's an engineer.
Ah, so he's a bum. Toby, your dad's a doctor. How does he find that?
Oh, well, yeah, good.
Good? Awesome. Jay, what does your dad do?
My dad is...
suck a dick for a living!
Oh, yeah, I was going to say that, but I was like, oh, damn it. No, you beat me to it.
What's been going on, you motherfuckers? What's happening in the Misfits household this week?
Work. Doing a lot of work.
Sure, we can say that.
Work?
Last night wasn't work.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Last night, see, I decided that I didn't want to go home for Christmas, so my family was like, hey, well, you know what? We'll just come visit Melbourne for Christmas. And I was like, fucking go ahead, cunt.
Oh, what a great
idea. So they came over, and last night we invited them over for a nice pizza dinner. And
did you clean up first?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was talking to Ryan, and I was like, you know, I bet Mum would take edibles if we offered them. You know, she's always been super anti-drugs with us, but I bet if we offered them, she would take them.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, 5 minutes after them arriving, Ryan goes... you know, we've got edibles. And Mum was like, oh, well,
how exactly did he pose the question?
I actually think Mum may have brought it up first because she knows that everyone in the house smokes
she was
weed.
Dying for it.
She knows everyone in the house smokes weed, right? And I think she brought it up jokingly.
Yeah, I had smoked a bong 15 minutes before.
She brought it up jokingly, I think. And then I was like, well, I mean, the freezer's filled with edibles. You can have one if you want. And she was like, oh, I mean, it could be interesting. So we're just like, sure. All right, you can have half an edible. We gave Mum half an edible. I think Ollie had half an edible. Danny had half an edible. And Millie had a quarter of an edible.
Right.
So, yeah, that was all of my family that was there. My sister, my brother, his girlfriend, and my mum. So they all took an edible. And then we just sat down and had a dinner.
Yeah.
And during the dinner, Mum was like, I'm not feeling it yet. And she saw a bong and she was like, what's that? How does that work?
Oh,
no. And we're like,
give me more.
We were like, it's a bong. And she was like, can I try it? I've never seen one of those. And everyone was like, no, you just had an edible. Wait for it to kick in. If you need more, sure, you can go and have a bong. But we'll get someone to show you how it works so that you can see it. But you're not taking it yourself. So fucking Swagger.
Dude, what the fuck?
Swagger packs a bong
and then... And then Matt volunteered, and then Matt ripped the fatty in front of his mom.
The fuck?
That was fun.
So did your mom end up having to turn on the bong?
No, we didn't let her.
We didn't let her. But she... Okay.
Yeah, well, she'd cough like crazy.
Yeah. She was... By the time the edibles actually kicked in, she was wild. Can I hear an echo right now?
Yeah.
It's Matt.
Matt, you're all broken right now. You're lagging and your headphones are echoing into your mic right now.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of scuffed right now. Try not suck less.
Look,
there we go. Let's try
maybe
that.
Maybe try fix your problem and we'll just keep talking or something, or at the very least just try to get rid of the echo because otherwise we're going to be all fucked up. You feel me, homie?
I feel you.
All right, respect. Go on with the story.
That was gangster. That was fucking that was gangster right there.
So, I'm gangster right now.
So we all.
I'm gonna say I'm a bit of a gangster.
So we all finish eating our pizzas.
I'm known to be in a gang.
Shut what, the what fuck gang? Up, Fitz.
Go on. Sorry.
Yeah, let's do a story. All
right, homie. I
God.
Bet.
God.
Continue.
Yeah.
Please.
We're all just chilling on the couch. Matt and Swagger are playing Smash, and everyone's kind of just watching them play Smash, and like everyone kind of it hasn't quite hit them yet. And then you just slowly see like Mum just go real quiet and kind of like lean into the couch, and then everyone else slowly do that as well. And then Mum just started laughing her ass off at everything.
Oh, hysterics. She was in full-blown hysterics laughing, dude. It was funny.
So funny.
That's like my first time doing edibles. I just couldn't stop laughing. And it was just like, wow.
And Ollie and Millie, because they're assholes, were just like constantly telling her, like, Mom, calm down. Like, come on. You're being crazy and stuff. When, like everyone whose house it was, like, the Misfits, we didn't give a shit. We just thought it was hilarious.
Yeah.
And
well, they're probably all being paranoid because they were also in edibles.
Yeah, exactly.
Probably,
but
yeah.
Different reaction.
There was a point where I was like, all right, I'm going to go tidy up in the kitchen. And I was tidying up all the food, and Mum came to help. And she's like, all right, what do you want me to do? And I told her what to do. And she like just stood there in the kitchen, just laughing for like 10 minutes. And then I was finished tidying up the kitchen, and she goes, did I help?
I was like,
not really, but it's fine.
Sure,
she was like, okay.
You did your best.
And then they sat down, and I was like, all right, I'm going to go and stream. You guys have fun. And, you know, if you can go home if you want and stuff. And they were going. Mum really wanted to go home. She's like, all right, I think we should just go home now. And Ollie really didn't want to catch an Uber with her in that state. So he was like, no, let's
what?
Just stay
here. Was he real freaked out by it?
I think so. He's like, let's just stay here and let's just like watch shitty TV shows and stuff. So they're watching TV shows, and then apparently they ended up taking an Uber home while they were still stoned, because there was no way they were going to wait there for the entire time.
Oh yeah.
And yeah, apparently it was just an Uber ride filled with laughs, which I've experienced many times with you guys. Nothing really crazy happened. You know, it's not really much of a story, but it's just kind of crazy that my family got high at our house.
Yeah.
It's fucking
very
epic,
on brand.
Yeah. That's wild. I cannot imagine my parents doing that. Wait, neither, so had yeah. Ollie and had Ollie must have like
smoked
before.
Before.
Had he ever done edibles?
Yeah, he did edibles in Amsterdam, but he said that these ones were a lot more intense.
Really?
Yeah, these ones are weirdly intense, right? Because one of those edibles is only 35, which is not.
Like, not a lot. Not a,
well, maybe that's because I'm just fucked up. But
well, we had 100 fucking milligrams of THC per edible for the longest time, and we thought that was the fucking standard. When it turns out, it's really not.
We're tripping sack.
Yeah,
it's like, well, it's the normal dosage. Like 100's about like a low dosage, right? That's apparently, right, like 10 is more like a low dosage. So
whoops,
interesting. And Millie is. I'm surprised your mom let Millie do it because she's what, 17?
Yeah, Millie's 17.
Okay,
but Millie let Ollie decide because he's a med student, and Ollie was like, no, right. you can't have any weed. You shouldn't be having weed right now. And then Ollie was like, if you insist, you can have a quarter, which is, I actually don't know if she even felt anything.
Right.
Because a quarter is quite a small dosage. So she had a quarter. Although Matt did go up to the table at one point and he go, who ate half of my edible? And I was like, what do you mean? And I bet it was Millie.
Yeah, I was like, I was sitting there debating if I was trying to eat the edible or not. And then they're like, yo, rip this bong. And I'm like, okay. So I did that. And then I zoned out for like, I can't even remember what I did after that. I think me and Swags played Smash or something. Mm-hmm. And then I come back to my edible and like a corner's missing from it. I'm like, wait a minute.
Although that might have just been the quarter that Ryan cut her.
Right. Have you talked to your parents like since it happened? Or since the night? Like,
no.
Today or
the only contact I've had is Mum texted me saying, I hope I didn't bring shame to the family last night. It was so much fun! !!
Dishonor the family.
Dishonor family.
So she clearly had a good time, which is good.
Yeah.
So I just said, I didn't mind. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
She's brought honor to your family.
Yeah.
She's brought.
Yeah, it's fucking hilarious.
Honor. That's fantastic.
I don't know what my dad would do if he found out that happened, though.
Is your dad super anti-drug? Do you think?
Probably. I think so.
Right.
Yeah.
Just, I think my parents are kind of the same, but I think, like, I don't know. I think my parents are in concept anti-drug, but I don't think it's going to take much convincing for me to win an argument against them. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I mean, I feel yeah. like they're anti-drug drug mainly just for the purpose of being good parents.
Yeah.
Or in their eyes. Maybe. I don't know. I really have no idea. I could, my mom was the kind of person I could see like doing, like having, smoking weed when she was younger. I have no idea if she did or not. She's never told me. My dad, not at all, but no idea really.
Yeah. I feel like if my dad, I feel like the thing that would annoy my dad was the situation that it happened. The fact that she did it while in the presence of Millie and stuff like that. I feel like that would piss right. dad off.
That is a, I mean, yeah, I could see that being a kind of a weird dynamic, I guess. Yeah. But I mean, your family's pretty close, so it's surely no yeah. big deal. I mean, yeah, do you think that with the increased legalization of marijuana in countries like Canada and the US, if it will be more common for, let's say, the next generation, let's say we're parents, we've got kids who are kind of like young teenagers, we're having a dinner party with other parents, do you think that smoking weed or taking edibles will become commonplace in some ways, like in small dosages?
With like parties?
Parents? Oh, like social, like drinking and stuff like that? Maybe.
Yeah. And our kids be like, oh, they're just stoned. Like we would say, oh, our parents are just drunk because they've been having a dinner party with friends.
Yeah.
You know? Do you think
probably,
that's going to be the norm?
I think so. Yeah, and I don't think there's necessarily anything wrong with it.
Yeah. You know? As long as, you know, we're not railing cocaine or something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah. Smoking a bit of meth on Christmas Eve, are we, Timmy?
Mom, what
one of those?
When Mom was high, she was talking constantly. She's like, man, I wonder if there's a place in New Zealand where I can get these. And that's the time where she said, she was like, do you reckon I could bring these on the plane with me?
No. Yes, you can.
No, you can.
Yes, you can.
Not, no, you can't. Not to New Zealand. They've got the dogs sniffing and they will 100% catch you.
In New Zealand,
no.
As soon
wrong.
As you arrive,
that's
you get
wrong.
Smelled by dogs.
Yeah, dogs sniffed Inut's bag, remember?
And he had edibles in them?
No, they didn't.
Yeah.
Dude,
yeah,
you really stupid. Took
these
a huge risk doing that.
During the line?
Taking in food into New Zealand?
Pretty strong.
Yeah.
No, not New Zealand. It was in the Australian airport.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's, I mean, Australia's a little less strict. I'm telling you that New Zealand is severely strict about bringing in outside, like, foods and drugs into the country. And I 100% would not recommend doing that.
What if you bring it in your stomach?
And your stomach's probably
don't
fine.
Ever bring food into New Zealand.
Yeah.
Like yeah, it's like for any country, you're not supposed to bring food into it.
Yeah, but New Zealand's weirdly strict, like super strict about it. Like if you have an apple, you're
they
like,
let me bring my Tim Tams, so.
It's because New Zealand has like no predators. Like there's very few predator animals in New Zealand.
Yeah.
So they don't want you bringing in foods that might have like insects in them or something like that. So like you're not allowed to bring like any fruits and shit like that.
Yeah, it's why our national animal is the kiwi. Because the kiwi is just a fat, flightless bird that evolved that way because there's no one hunting him. So he's like, fuck yes, I'll just get lazy and fat and not be able to fly anymore. So our national animal is literally just a fucking useless piece of shit bird. Sorry, yeah. Going on another tangent. Don't want to get into it. But, you know, fuck kiwis.
Isn't there like a law in New Zealand that if you like run over a kiwi or like accidentally hurt it or something that you have to bring it to a hospital?
I think it's just called being a good person swagger, but you know, it's whatever. No,
I mean,
I don't know.
It's just a fucking bird.
I don't know if it's a law, but.
Oh, you're talking about the birds.
I don't think so.
Yeah, no, not the fruit, Matt. Did you think we were talking about the fruit?
No, I was talking about the people. God. No, I was talking about the people.
Matt,
you know, if I hit a person on the side of the road, hit a kiwi, should I bring him to a hospital or something, you know?
Is Matt super quiet for anyone else? I hate to bring this up again.
No, I'm
Matt,
lagging. I have like 500 ping right now. It's fucked right
okay.
now.
Oh, good. Whatever. We're just going to deal with it, all right?
I have 500 ping as well.
Yeah, just a preface, we still don't have good internet. That should be in about, 20 days? Fucking month?
A little time called never, because you're never getting good internet, because Australia is a dog shit country.
All right. Yeah. Awesome.
Wow.
Okay.
There you go. Right. Bye-bye, Australian listeners. That's right. I won't miss you. Yeah.
No, they must understand that.
I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just throwing shit out there. Yeah. I'm just trying to like throw some wrenches in the works over here. Keep it interesting, all right?
Let's just burn our bridges.
Keep it spicy.
Yeah, just burn bridges.
Yeah, fuck you, Spotify. You might as well do that. Just say fuck Spotify.
Let's just say a big fuck you to all our future sponsors on this podcast. List them one by one. any of the major podcast sponsors, we just go through a list and say, you know, fuck them. Fuck you. No, please sponsor us.
We need money.
We need new internet. Really, please sponsor us.
We need it.
Jay, what were you saying was a law in New Zealand before you got cut off?
Well, I was just saying, isn't it a law like if you break a Kiwi's leg or something, like they break your leg too? Like the doctors break your leg.
A family of Kiwis comes up to you and breaks your leg.
Yeah.
They get revenge.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Did you ever worry about that when you were a kid? Let's say that there's a insect in your bathroom. Stop. This is a problem. Crush the insect. Spray it. Do what you got to do. Just get that thing eradicated off the face of the earth.
Yeah.
Go back to your bedroom. Snuggle up in the covers. Fuck. What if his friends know what I did? What if his friends know?
Yeah.
And they come through the little crack in the window in the bathroom and they come to me when I sleep and beat the shit out of me. Do you ever think about that when you're a kid?
Dude.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
No.
I've been thinking about it the last fucking week. I got into a fucking fist fight with a fucking cockroach when I was editing one of my videos. It was fucked. I'm sitting there at my desk fucking typing away, stoned out of my mind. Had to have had 11 bongs editing the video podcast, which is on the Misfits channel at this point. So our last podcast was a special that was there.
We'll talk about that later. Go on with your cockroach. I want to hear how you punched a cockroach.
Okay, so I'm tip-typing away, having a jolly old fucking grand old time editing, stoned out of my mind, and, you know, I'm just looking up. I'm like, here, I haven't looked around my room for a while, so let me just scan everything like a robot. So I'm looking around my room, and I look at my white wall, and there's just a giant fucking roach looking at me, and I just go, ah! Oh! And so I get up, and I'm like, okay, what's my method of attack? Because it's not going to be my fucking $800 Balenciaga shoes, okay? I'm not getting roach guts on that shit.
Fear.
So I'm looking around, and I see that I have a giant tissue box. And I'm like, I'll use this. I'll just fucking go up, lean over, and smack him.
Sure.
So
yeah,
I get up, grab my tissue box, I wind up, and I fucking go to hit it. And it's a glancing blow, and the fucker starts flying towards me.
Damn.
So
holy shit.
He's pissed.
He's flying towards me, and my fucking Smash Bros. Skills are coming in. I'm ready to fucking up A that motherfucker, and I'm just swinging, flurry of fucking punches, just going, and like that. And then the fucking thing goes over, lands on my dresser, and starts crawling along it. And then I grab the tissue box that I've, you know, thrown to the side in a panicked flurry of punches, grab it, and I'm just fucking whacking it on the fucking dresser, and then it's just a pile of guts. And then conveniently, I take the tissue out of the tissue box that's now broken and just completely fucked, and I scrape his guts and his carcass off and I flush it down the fucking toilet. Fuck a roach.
That is a really brutal, Mortal Kombat after scene, cutscene.
It was a hashtag fatality.
Holy shit.
Fatality. I always imagine when you when you go to kill a cockroach or something, you get a shoe and you smash it on the wall. I just imagine this fucking cockroach just pushing back on the shoe. It's like pushing you away and it just pops its head out the side and it's just like, hey.
Not today, bitch.
I would love to see an anime fight edit of a man versus cockroach and the cockroach is just super strong.
Yeah, it's just pushing against you.
Did you guys ever watch that movie, Eight-Legged Freaks, when you were a kid? Recently?
No.
Oh my god, that fucked me up. I watched it probably when I was about 8 years old.
Eight-Legged Freaks.
It's a movie about spiders, but they're big, all right? These spiders, these are some big spiders, all right?
How big are we talking?
Now, I can't remember the plot exactly, but I just remember vivid scenes of like... They started out small or something about a toxic barrel. You know, the classic shtick. They eat some radiation shit. And then they start just ganging up on people. And then they start growing until they're big. And they're wandering around the streets. And they're fucking big. And they're also big.
Yeah.
And man, fuck me up as a kid.
Really?
Yeah, it's from the fucking producers of Independence Day and Godzilla. Eight-legged freak.
Well, that's a combo right there.
I'm going to put the fucking... Here's the art. Here's the fucking poster art in the... uploading. It's going to... Yeah, I'm putting it in the podcast chat. Look at that shit.
I'm pretty sure that Will Smith actually voiced one of the spiders as well. He was just going,
No way!
Oh, that is hot.
That's hot.
No, that's a lie there. Oh, my God. Yeah, that's the one. Dude, that's terrifying. That's already giving me PTSD.
Yeah.
Look at those spiders.
This fantastic comedy is a shocker.
Oh, it was a comedy?
What do you want for this YouTube rewind? I want Marquise Brownlee and Eight-Legged Freaks.
Oh, dude. Blu-ray. Mega freaks fuck me up. Leave a 5-star review down below if you can relate. I was not ready.
What fucked you guys up as kids, aside from like parents and stuff?
Parents.
Wow.
Yeah.
I had a reoccurring dream when I was really young, and it would happen like every fucking night, where I would wake up in my bedroom and I would walk into like the guest bedroom,
mm-hmm.
and there would be a massive dog in there that would bite my wrist and jump out the window with me biting, like pulling me with it, and run around the city, like dragging me around behind it. And I used to have it every single night. I have no idea what it meant.
Really?
I had a reoccurring dream when I was a kid.
On the one hand, that sounds terrifying. On the other hand, it sounds kind of magical, just being torn around the city.
On the other hand, you've got a dog in your head.
On the other hand, it's a dog.
It's a dog, yes.
Explaining it actually does sound like it could have been a good dream, but I remember it being scary as fuck.
Yeah, if there was a dog on your wrist, wouldn't you call it a watchdog?
Oh, we'll be right back, folks, with Swagger Souls.
Yeah, that's me.
Hey, do you need a shirt? Of course you do. You need a shirt, right? Go to misfits.store and buy yourself a shirt or a hoodie. We got all kinds of colors, and they're all great. This is not a bit. I'm literally just asking you to go to misfits.store and buy our fucking shirts. We're back, ladies and gentlemen, with Swagger Souls here on the Misfits Podcast. He's got some way more jokes for you, Swagger. Go nuts.
All right, so...
That's all, folks. Good job.
That's all.
And this is me being Jimmy Fallon. And the band plays music and scene. Do you guys think that Jimmy Fallon really is fake in his laughter?
Yes.
I think Jimmy Fallon emphasize the funniness.
It's weird.
I think his only talent is being a hype man for his guest.
I mean, he used to be a comedian, though, and he's quite talented. Well respected, it seems, by other comics and by people in show business generally. So it's kind of... Do you think everyone in the industry just knows that he's a bit of a hack?
Wait a minute. I think I'm getting him mixed up with the other late night Jimmy.
Kimmel?
Yeah, Jimmy Kimmel. Fallon's the guy with the buggy eyes, right?
Fallon's, the guy who looks a bit like a hammerhead shark and has a, you know...
Fallon's
fucking...
the younger looking one.
Probably specific.
Yeah, he's younger and he slaps his desk and laughs way too hard at shit that just isn't funny and kind of eggs the guests on in this kind of unnatural way. It's very odd. It's very odd. It's like he's forgotten what comedy is and had to reprogram it artificially. It's very strange.
Oh, that's so weird.
Hopefully people in the audience can know what I'm talking about and I don't just come across as a Jimmy Fallon hating guy right now, but you know, he's not.
I've been watching so much.
Let's burn another bridge while we're at it. Fuck you, Jimmy Fallon.
Fuck Jimmy Fallon. we're never going to go watching... late night.
Hey, yeah, you can come on the show if you want, Jimmy. You know, our seat's open for you. You want to come on the Misfits podcast? Everyone tweeted Jimmy Fallon to come up.
No. Why did you say that?
Oh, my God.
No.
What have you done?
Oh, fuck that. Yeah, that's all right.
You know who the best late night talk shows, in my opinion?
Craig
this
Ferguson.
This is ranked in order for... Shut up. I was doing
He's
my
the
list.
Best.
This is my
He's
time.
The best.
Okay, this is the top three. Craig Ferguson. That was mine. You just stole it. Thank you for that. Graham Norton, who's... That I mean, just the dynamic of the Graham Norton show is very good. I don't think he's like that amazing as a host, but the whole like celebrities, three of them mix matched on a couch getting fucked up, you know, that's fucking hilarious. And then I guess probably the last one would be Conan in that ranking, in my honest opinion. Thoughts?
I'd agree with that.
Wrong.
I concur.
Because everybody knows the number one best talk show host is Eric Andre.
I wasn't counting him because he's more of a satirical comedy show, but
yeah,
I mean, I think he's... I honestly would still put him below Craig Ferguson in my opinion, but
yeah, so would I.
Eric Andre is pretty fun. Have you seen Craig Ferguson? Do you guys know who that is?
He's so good.
You put it on for us.
No
during
idea.
Oh yeah, I have. Oh yeah, I should do that compilation of him seducing a woman.
Oh yeah.
What a legend.
Yeah, that's fucking awesome.
You
that's
can't
always,
get away with
his
that
fucking
nowadays.
Show is amazing. It's just him seducing a woman.
So good. It's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, have you seen the one? Should I even talk about this? Because anyone who hasn't seen it can't relate. But let's just say there's a episode of Craig Ferguson with Robin Williams. And if you haven't seen it, you should look it up on YouTube because, you know, RIP Robin Williams, first of all. And second of all, it's just like they're both so wishy that the way they bounce off each other at this in like machine gun rate is just insanely entertaining to watch. Like, So yeah. impressive.
And the cool thing about Craig's show is they don't have pre-interviews. All the other late night shows have pre-interviews.
Mm.
Whereas Craig's ones, it's just they go on stage and they just start going.
Wait, what's a pre-interview? Is that where they kind of figure out what they're going to say beforehand?
So, yeah, Conan and Jimmy Fallon and all that, they know all the questions and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, they rehearse the interviews before they do it, whereas Craig doesn't.
Ah,
yeah.
Damn.
That's interesting.
Craig is just, that like Craig's, his show is just basically him talking to people.
It's shooting the shit, basically, with celebrities.
Yeah.
And it's very relaxed.
It's almost hilarious. Like a podcast.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, it's kind of the way all talk shows should be, I guess, but it does take a very special host to be able to pull that off, I think.
Yeah.
Which I guess is why the other late night show guys have kind of gone the scripting route. Is it like just an open secret that it's scripted, or is it not a secret at all? Or
because it's
obvious that it is, but I mean,
yeah.
I mean, I guess you can't really keep it a secret when every celebrity has to go through the process of, you know, doing a pre-show.
Yeah.
When you say that, do you mean that they just sit down backstage and do
I don't know exactly how it works, but I think that they literally just do the entire interview with no audience and then they do it with an audience.
Right.
What about Norm MacDonald's talk show?
Oh, that's good as well, but I guess that's technically a talk show, but I don't view it in the same category, but it's fucking funny. Norm's a legend. Norm is a comedy icon, I think.
Mm. Yeah.
I liked it when Jimmy Fallon did the Pon Pon.
Oh, yeah, Ninja was on Jimmy Fallon.
Did he act?
I didn't watch that. I saw clips on Twitter. I saw the clip of him doing the Pon Pon, which was the worst thing.
I got out of my seat and started Pon Pon.
I did too. Do I have to do it for my Papi Chula.
Yeah, got Papi Chula. El Nino.
Still, despite the cringe of Ninja and Jimmy Fallon doing the Pon Pon, I do think Ninja is representing the gaming community pretty well.
And
kind of making steps in the right direction. He's doing a good job. Late night talk show hosts no longer ask, so how do you, apart from Ellen, you know, obviously with Ninja, but it seems like we're moving more towards where it's not a question about money. They're just acknowledged as kind of celebrities now in some way. I don't think Jimmy Fallon asked him, like, so how do you do it from your
plane? I know, he did. He said...
Really?
Actually, no. What he didn't ask about money. He said he didn't understand why people watch people playing games, and then just said, why do people watch people playing American football?
And
stuff like that.
Yeah, but I feel like he was asking that just so Ninja could explain it the way that he did. Right? I don't think he was asking.
I agree. Yeah,
I think he's just catering to like the older audience, and I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, the people that still watch TV.
There was controversy of Jimmy Fallon like talking shit about people that play games like that. Like, why do people watch?
Wasn't that a while ago? Wasn't that Kimmel?
Yeah. I don't know which one.
I think it was Kimmel.
Isn't that the same dude?
No. Kimmel also got flack for his yearly Halloween thing. You guys hear about that? Where every year Jimmy Kimmel
Fortnite?
No, every year Jimmy Kimmel does this segment on a show around Halloween where he encourages parents to film their kids telling them that they ate all their Halloween candy. So parents nationwide send clips in of them filming their kids crying and being like, I'm sorry, I ate all your candy. And the kid's like, what? And their whole world's falling apart because this candy is so important to them because they're children.
That's
and it's,
dark.
You know, and when I was younger, I thought it was kind of funny. I was like, ah, it's funny. And then I was like, wait, this is kind of fucked up. You know, he's encouraging hundreds and thousands of parents to
make their kids
temporarily
cry.
Traumatize their kids over this thing for internet fame. The parents aren't even in the video most of the time. They're just filming their kids. And it's like, what? So I think he's going to stop doing it. He did it this year and he got a whole ton of backlash for it. Finally.
Yeah, let me just give my kids fucking trust issues at a young age for a chance to get on a talk show.
Yeah.
Jimmy Kibble.
Yeah, the whole filming your kids for social media attention is just so odd.
It's very yikes.
It worked out well for Daddy of Five.
But I'm not talking about vloggers now. We were kind of already talking about vloggers. I'm talking more about just the Facebook moms who will film their kids doing funny shit, and some of them script shit so they can go viral. And these are just ordinary people who don't have a following that are just trying to get like retweets or Facebook likes or whatever for that little bit of internet fame. I don't know. It's so fucking, it's creepy.
Yeah. Speaking of internet fame, you guys are now in the presence of Australia's best Twitch streamer.
Number one Australian
streamer. Number one in Australia.
So
number
one. Did you watch the whole live stream or what was the deal with that show?
Bordy and I sat in a Discord call because Bordy was nominated as for something else, and we just sat there watching the award show. As far as award shows go, it was the first time they've ever done it, so it was a little bit of a clusterfuck. But I really enjoyed the pacing of it. It was really quick. It was just award. It wasn't dragged out like so many award shows are, and it was actually pretty well done.
Right. So wait, was it an actual thing in a stadium? Or
it was an event somewhere. It was in Sydney somewhere. I don't know how big it was.
Did it look like an arena, like the kind of not the Grammys level, but that sort of style of where's a stage and hosts and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, yep. People in a crowd. Hosts. Yeah, there was a crowd. There was all the people receiving awards, eating dinner.
Wow.
And the around tables. It was cool. It was very very professionally done. Very well done. It was done by a pretty respected company, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we get to my category and I just assumed I'd lost, basically.
Who are the competition?
So I was up against Loserfruit, who I thought was going to win.
Yeah.
Pestily, who's a mate of mine, actually. And then a couple other people.
Some other irrelevant guys.
Sorry.
I don't know who they are, so whoever you are, I'm sorry. I was a joke.
Yeah, but, I think there was a Sims streamer or something. They were just people that I didn't know. But I just assumed that I was going to lose to Loserfruit because, you know, she's pretty well respected in the Twitch community and she's quite large. So yeah, I wasn't really expecting to win. And it gets to the bit where they reveal the finalists and they show these clips. And my fucking clip was a clip of me in an Overwatch loading screen shaking one of those shaker cup things and not saying a single word. And I realized after I rewatched it that you can hear in the background the host going,
"Yeah,
she's nice
laughing.
Clip.
She's just laughing. Yeah, she's just giggling like, what the fuck is this?" And like, then she says, "Nice clip."
Everyone else had like Loserfruits was like a clip from her vlog addressing the camera. Everyone else was like them talking or doing something cool on stream. And then there was just me shaking
and
a cup.
And the winner is.
And I was just laughing about that. And then and the winner is Toby on the telly. And I was like, what? And then you just see someone screenshot this because I was in the Twitch chat. And you just see me in the chat just spamming, ha ha, because I was like, not expecting.
Wow.
That's so, I mean, yeah, congrats that you won. Do you get like a physical trophy?
Yeah, it's actually a pretty cool looking trophy. It's like a geometric, really angled Australia trophy.
Awesome.
And then it's got the Twitch Streamer of the Year on it.
So you're legit Streamer of the Year in Australia.
Yeah.
Even though you're from New Zealand.
That's a pretty amazing feat for New Zealander.
So not only did the New Zealander win the award, but also they couldn't be bothered finding a clip for you. So all these professional people before you with all their fancy clips, and then it says, and the winner is G-Sub's this Shaker Guy.
Yeah.
It's pretty sick, though.
It's fucking epic.
Yeah, I didn't really care. I just assumed I was going to lose, so I didn't really care about it. And then when I won, I was like, you know, this is actually pretty sick. You know, it's something I can put on my CV and stuff when I stop doing
100%.
YouTube.
Did you notice an increase in followers at all, or have you not checked? Or
I haven't checked, actually.
How many people were watching the stream?
Like 4?
2,000, I think. It wasn't
2,000.
Huge.
That's still more than I expected.
It had more viewers than I expected, yeah.
Mm.
Because this was the first time they've done it, and it wasn't that well advertised.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was cool.
Congratulations.
Epic style, dude. Congrats.
Thank you.
That's fucking lit.
Well deserved.
Anything else been happening at the house, boys? Anyone want to fill me in on?
Nothing really.
Everyone's been playing fucking Super Smash Bros.
Oh, man. Awesome. Good to see you being productive.
Smash has been so much fun. Game.
Everyone's into it now.
Really? On the Switch?
Yeah, I am.
I started playing it last night, and I was like, okay, I can understand why people are enjoying this.
Right. Interesting. I've never played the Smash
games. I think everyone in the house enjoys it now.
It's fun. It's a very fun game.
It's just a good fuck-around game. As well.
Yeah, it's good break time.
Did any of you ever watch a web series online back in the day called Te Ponera or Pure Ownage? Pure Ponage? All right, I'm not going to talk about it in that case.
It sounds familiar. It sounds familiar.
It was this, what would you call it?
Cringe?
Like an independent web series, because this was back in the day when web series were a thing, although it was on YouTube as well, but this is like 2010, maybe earlier. Yeah. And it was just about this gamer. It was a satire, but I didn't actually know this at the time because I was very young. It's a satire about a game, like a pro gamer who was, quote unquote, it's pro. He lived with his mom and he played like Command and Conquer and eventually moved into Smash Bros. And was super competitive and like an over-the-top gamer stereotype from 2009.
Yeah.
He wore like a bandana and he was like overweight. Well, not that overweight, but pretty overweight and lived with his mom and
blue hair.
And it was, you know what the knife meme from Counter-Strike where everybody runs fast with a knife. Boom, headshot, yeah. Boom,
oh, yeah,
headshot.
That guy.
Oh,
headshot.
Fierce Dog.
That
yeah.
guy,
oh.
That's from that show.
I can dance all day. I can dance all day.
That's from
Oh, way.
Yeah,
oh,
so yeah. Shout out to anyone in the audience who's seen that. I don't know why I'm, you know, so on point with the flashbacks as it was on. There's a flashback. There you go. That's that. I want to talk about something that has been kind of in the news of comedy lately. All right. Don't want to get all serious on you guys, but something's been happening.
What's been happening?
You guys familiar with a comedian called Nimesh Patel? I think I pronounced his name right. Indian comedian.
No, I'm not.
So basically,
how do you spell his name?
N-I-M-E-S-H.
Is he an actor?
He might be an actor. I'm not too familiar with him. I only just heard about him because of this news. I don't think he's that well known as a comedian.
Yeah.
He's up and coming guy. He was a writer for SNL.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay,
yeah.
What's up?
Anyway, he's been in the news lately because he got invited to do his act, basically a stand up act at this.
Yeah.
I'm gonna butcher the story, but I think it was like it was at a college first of all.
Yeah.
And it was, I think, something about Asian representation at the school or something like that, or Indian, you know, India is obviously in Asia, but that kind of representation at school. And they got in touch with him because, like, oh, here's a well-known Indian comic. They told him that they were familiar with his work. So they invited him to go do an hour at their show. And he's doing his hour and he's telling some jokes and it's going pretty well, apparently. And and then he says this joke where, I mean, I think it was something along the lines of it's proven that you can't, like, no one chooses to be gay because no one would choose to be black and gay because no one wants that double, like that double
right.
added
right.
oppression in their life. Right? That was I butchered the joke, but that's the concept of it.
Yeah. And it was like being a gay black man in New York.
Yeah, it was something like no one chooses that. So obviously being gay is not a choice. That was the crux of the joke.
Right.
And it gets a couple laughs and a couple boos. And then these three women who were organizing the show come on stage and take the mic out of his hand. They don't take it out of his hand, but they basically say, hey, we're having some issues with the tech. They have to leave early, so we're going to have to cut your act short. And he's kind of like, what the fuck? I thought it was going pretty well. You know, like he doesn't believe them, obviously. And then they kind of admit that the jokes he was saying were offensive and kind of, hate speech or whatever. And they tell him basically to leave. And the crowd's kind of like, what the fuck is going on? Like, most of the crowd is on his side, but there's a few people in the back kind of like, yeah, fuck. And he's kind of like, okay, like, you guys are wrong. And then they, for some reason, let him have closing remarks where he basically just delivers this like 30-second to a minute speech about how he's been in comedy longer than them and that they're wrong and that they can't just hide from everything that they find offensive and when it's comedy. And, you know, all the things you'd expect a comedian to stand for and believe in.
Yeah.
And then in the middle of his speech, they cut his mic and tell him to get off the stage and he bails.
Really?
Yeah. So this has been like kind of making headlines and shit. And
what? Those guys.
Where was
I can't remember which college it was at, but
that's big.
Oh, you know, it was a college? Yeah.
Oh,
no,
it was
fucking
a college.
Wonder.
Okay.
Yeah.
If it was a college, then no fucking wonder.
Don't be a comedian and go to a college.
Comedians in college is like oil and water, dude. That shit's fucked. Even for an open mic.
Yeah, don't fuck with that.
I had an interest in doing open mic with a friend of mine in college, but the college I went to, they had like rules for the open mic that if you wanted to tell jokes and like do a comic act, because they would have like tournaments for comedians and, you know, judges would choose the best one and then they could actually hang out with an actual comedian, you know, and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're like going to apply and they're fucking saying that, oh yeah, you know, make sure you don't have any jokes that mentioned sexuality or drugs or sex in general or drinking. And
yeah.
And I'm like, motherfucker, I'm in goddamn college. What what jokes are going to make people laugh? What's going to relate to people? Drugs, sex, alcohol, and offensive comedy for the most part.
Yeah.
But, you know, they cater to that, you know.
Yeah,
we have to protect our students, kind of thing, which is retarded because they're all adults.
Safe space mentality.
Yeah,
yeah. There's a show in I can't remember what it's called. I think it's called The Green Room or something. And it's they just get a bunch of comedians on and they just talk to each other for an hour. And they talked about how they don't take any college shows, because any college show that you go to, it doesn't matter how big a comedian you are, they will tell you what you are and aren't allowed to talk about, and it's usually 90% of what your act usually is, you're not allowed to talk about.
Wow.
Yeah, it's well known that they tend to avoid colleges, but considering that they invited him and said, we're familiar with your jokes and your material and we like your stuff, please come and do it, like, you know. Plus, also, I'll just say colleges apparently pay very fucking well, like, more better than your average venue do. Like,
mm-hmm. Interesting.
Get invited to a college, the comedian makes a lot of money. I think he still got paid, hopefully. I mean, if he didn't get paid, that's even more fucked up. But I mean, it's just kind of like, I don't know. When are we going to get over this period? And are we going to get over this period where people just don't understand this?
Yes, yeah. It's crazy. The pendulum.
I hope so.
The pendulum will swing.
I hope so.
And the pendulum will swing hard.
I mean,
I think what we're going to see is just comedians just making the most offensive fucking shit they can.
Yeah.
And just, you know, putting all that out. I really think they ought to do that because, you know, you had like, you know, old comedians like, you know, what, George Carlin? You know, that did all the offensive comedy and just all the fuck shit.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be something that's going to come back relatively soon, just in the world of comedy.
Yeah,
just
well,
people
I hope
being
so.
Fucked.
I mean, I don't think that the people who get up in arms about it are in the majority. Or at least I don't. I mean, part of what makes me hopeful for that is our audience and the fact that, I mean, we've come a long way, and my channel's got, you know, 4 million subscribers, humble brag, and it's all offensive comedy. It's all founded on this idea of, you know, just say, if it's funny, it fucking goes on the channel and people love it.
Yeah.
And I get very little backlash, or maybe get one comment in 1,000. It's like, actually, maybe you shouldn't have said that because, recently, that actually affected me. And I just, you know, I don't get many comments like that, which I'm fucking shocked by, to be honest, because when you hear about these stories, you think, oh no, the youth has gone soft, and oh no, everyone's turning all PC and safe spaces and all this. But I really just think it's a small vocal minority, and, you know, especially in like universities and colleges and stuff.
They're just very
getting
very
up in
vocal.
Arms about it and shit. So, I mean, I think you're right. I think eventually it'll reach its breaking point, and those people will just be shunned so heavily for having this kind of, I don't know, soft view of, sheltered view of the world, that it's like, oh, no one really fucking acts like that anymore, you know?
Yeah.
You'd hope so, at least. You'd think so.
Yeah.
I think it's just a matter of fucking time passing, to be honest.
Yeah.
You know, people are going to grow up.
I think it's the recent kind of rise of social... Well, I mean, not that social media is that recent, but I think it's kind of come to this T almost recently where people are realizing how powerful they can feel on Twitter, on Facebook, you know, commenting and complaining.
Let me dig through all of Kevin Hart's tweets.
Yeah.
And get him fucking from not doing the Oscar nomination, you know, shit like that.
So people are just, they feel like powerful when they're doing this, and, you know, they can actually be effective in the real world, as we're seeing with people like Kevin Hart, you know, the Kevin Hart situation, and, you know, countless others where people are digging through
that's
old
so
tweets.
Scary.
Terrifying. We're fucked. Just saying. If this doesn't, you know, if this doesn't swing the other way, like Swagger said, we're all boned if we want to move out of what we're doing into mainstream, you know, whatever. Because
just do it worse. you just go the whole hog, dude. You just fucking double down.
Yeah. Well, it's good that at the same time as kind of people are having, you know, complainers and serial safe space promoters are having more power on Twitter, at the same time independent media is also skyrocketing, so people are running YouTube channels and people are like starting their own shows online, and you know, they're able to do it without having to rely on someone who might look at an old tweet and be like, no, that's not okay, or kind of monitor what they say or stuff like that. So who knows, man. I mean, I think it's going to be an interesting next couple years, or maybe next decade, for comedy and the online
let's just
space
hope
and,
let's just hope it doesn't get to the point where you can get thrown in jail for telling a joke.
Might do, man. That might be the breaking point. I don't fucking know. I mean,
almost fucking happened. Almost happened to Count Dankula with the fucking pug thing.
Wait, what?
The fucking Nazi pug.
Wait, what? What happened with that?
Yeah, you didn't know about that?
That was a while ago.
Nuh-uh. When was that?
What? You don't know about Count Dankula?
Whoa.
Dude, huge story. English, he's a British guy, right? Or is he?
Scottish.
From the UK,
Scottish.
I think. Scottish. And so basically, I mean, people in the home probably know what this is, but I mean, a lot of them probably don't like Matt, so I'll just explain it. So basically, this guy makes this internet video on his phone where he's teaching his dog.
His girlfriend's dog.
His girlfriend's dog how to kind of do anti-Semitic actions, like how to do a Hitler salute and how to respond to things like gas the Jews or like, you know, stuff like that.
To take the dog on a walk, he would go gas the Jews.
Come on,
and then you know it would turn around and look at him. You know,
yeah, the whole excited and stuff.
The whole context of that was because his girlfriend was so in love with the dog and was going on about how cute it was, so he was going to turn it into the least cute thing that he could think of, which was a Nazi.
Yeah. God.
So you know he'd go see Kyle, and the dog would get up on its hind legs and put one arm out, and it was fucking funny.
Yeah,
and
it's funny because he acknowledges that Nazis are reprehensible, which is exactly why he's doing it.
Yeah.
So he's
doing
the whole joke.
Yeah, yeah.
And next thing you know, he's on trial for hate speech in a legitimate court.
What?
And is on the cusp of going to prison. Yeah, it was I actually wasn't as big as it should have been, I don't think, news-wise.
What country was this in?
I think he got trialed in the UK. Maybe it was Scotland. Oh, no, I mean England. I think he was in England.
Yeah.
But he's a Scottish guy. Maybe that's wrong. I don't fucking know. But yeah, I mean, just kind of goes
that's
to show you that.
So scary.
We're kind of getting to this point where people are like, just fuck the context. If you're saying something that could be seen as hateful out of context, that's hate speech, and you're breaking the law.
I feel like the most fucked part about it is that it's like you have to go. Someone has to go through that for anything to happen about it. I feel like someone will need to go to prison about a joke for anything to like happen.
Well, yeah, someone's got to take the fall, perhaps in some sense, for
people
to actually
get
angry enough to take action against it.
Yeah.
Admittedly, the Count Dankula situation did kind of garner a lot of support against what was happening online, but I don't think it caused as much of a fuss as it should have. That's a major deal.
He got like, you know, mentions on Twitter from I think it was Ricky Gervais and other comedians. I mean, everyone was right by him.
Yeah, I mean, I think there was. Maybe it was the Kevin Hart Oscar thing, but I saw Ricky Gervais tweet something recently, which was just, I think he basically said, there is nothing off limits in comedy. Like, there is nothing at all.
Yeah.
Like, you can joke about whatever you want as long as it's a joke. And, you know, we've talked about this before, and fucking we're audience probably rolling their eyes that we're on another tirade about, you know, comedic justice and all that. But it's fucking true.
It's important.
You can't, it's important. So, you know, hey, at least we can have a voice for it. If shit hits the fan, and part of me kind of wants to get in a little bit of trouble. I'm not gonna lie. It's a little part of me that's like, little mediocre pops up, so I can, you know.
Wall Street Journal, fuck you.
Yeah, I know it's gonna be terrible. I know when I look at things like the PewDiePie situation, I don't want that, and no one wants that. That's just. Dreamy. Oh, dude.
But then again, look how well PewDiePie's doing right now too. So
I would crank my Memo meter to like dial 11 out of 10.
Yeah,
I would go full on. Fucking meme.
Just you say that, though, but the thing is that they actually do have some power, and it actually can negatively affect your life. Like what happened with PewDiePie and losing his Disney deal. That was huge. That's a huge like loss for him.
True.
He lost a lot of money, and his whole series and a whole bunch of people worked really hard on that, and all because of this bullshit story. And you know, then that's what I tell myself whenever I say I kind of hope I get in a bit of trouble, because it sounds fun. Because for sitting where we are, comfortable. And not having to deal with this, we can think, it'll be really easy to fight back against this and our audience will support us. And part of that's definitely true, but you don't think about the real life negative consequences where it's actually draining your life and affecting you in ways that you didn't foresee. And fuck, man. I mean, Jesus. It's about time the mainstream media just fucking dies and just lets Philip DeFranco and whoever else wants to take the reins take over. God bless.
Billy Dean Keemstar.
That's the future of the media. That's the new mainstream media.
What a great future we have ahead of us.
God bless. I'm saluting as we speak.
You brought up earlier that we recorded a live video podcast
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about that. That went pretty well, I think. It would be up on the Misfits channel by now if you haven't seen it. Just look up Misfits on YouTube. I think the title is going to be We Took Drugs and Filmed It. So,
still tentative.
It's still a tentative title. And it's still monetized. So, you know, hopefully it's monetized tomorrow. For now. Release it.
No, maybe. So,
How the fuck is that title monetized?
I don't know.
It's awesome.
I mean, drugs aren't necessarily bad, right? I mean, you can talk about them educationally.
Yeah, we could have just filmed some aspirin.
Podcast. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah,
we took aspirin and filmed it.
We took aspirin and filmed it.
You'll get fucking age restricted or demonetized, even if it doesn't say that it is.
Hey,
no, if you put
don't jinx
if
it.
You put drugs Not in the title, word. It's going to happen.
Don't jinx it. I have faith. I literally get away with so much on YouTube that I'm hopeful that it will be okay.
Yeah, but all drug channels get absolutely fucked.
Do you think so?
Yeah, but we didn't show us consuming any drugs. Only shots of alcohol.
I'm only talking about the title.
Nah, but the title could be anything. It could be anything. I think we can get away with it. I don't know. Maybe we're wrong. Maybe it's going to be age restricted and everyone's going to be laughing at this. But fuck it. I think it's worth the risk. It's a funny title.
Worth it. Yeah.
It's
yeah.
worth it.
I love
we're
it.
Not a, we're not a drug channel. We're just a drug podcast. So.
Plus, yeah, yeah. True. Demonetization doesn't seem to already affect views that much anymore, which is, I'm so thankful. Like, my recent sponsor video on my second channel was demonetized, and
really?
I was still a number 3 gaming trending in the US, and it's got over a million views, and it's all good. So, yeah, admittedly, there were a lot of black jokes and a couple rape jokes in that video. But hey, you know, what are you going to do? Take my mic away from me and tell me I'm a hate speech promoter? Well, fuck you. I ain't going to fuck.
Put you in jail.
Put you in jail. Throw me in a cell. I don't care. Throw me in jail.
You think I care? I don't even fuck.
No, but we really want to do more of the video podcasts. It was a lot of fun, although I was actually highly anxious during the recording. You can actually see in the beginning my hands are shaking like crazy.
Oh, no.
The only fucking part of me that was on frame in the video podcast was my hands, and I was editing it and looking at all of the footage with my hands, and I was self-conscious about the way I was moving my hands. I was self-conscious about the only thing that I was in on camera was because I was just fiddling my hand because I was on two edibles.
Oh, my God. You're self-conscious. We had a fucking gimbal circling us like a shark. All right? Shut the fuck up.
I had the most unflattering angle, too. Oh, I hated
watching. People don't watch us for our looks, I hope. If that's the case, we're pretty fucked.
We're not anymore after this one, so.
Except for me.
Except for Swagger. It's the mystique of Swagger that keeps the ladies coming, you know?
Hell yeah.
In more ways than one. Right. No, I was highly anxious. I was actually like severely nervous beforehand, and plus I felt the edible kicking in, so I was like, oh no, am I going to be able to do this? And it's like, you know, and I kind of rushed the intro and I feel like I was a bit clumsy, but all in all, I think it was pretty funny. And hey, I mean,
it's first try
and people know we're scuffed
on two edibles, and
people are there to watch it for us just being ourselves, I guess, and us learning about it along the way. I think I said something during the podcast while baked. I said something like, we're unprofessional and we're like awkward and scuffed, but that's also what makes us the most relatable. You know what I mean? And I think that kind of rings true. I think that that's like one thing I said that hopefully is not too corny, but it was, you know, held some truth to it. Because there's too much on YouTube that's just way too professional, way too clean. Let's throw a wrench in the works and scuff it up a bit, eh? Hey, boys.
Yeah, mate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kick on new kicks against the wall.
Just yeah. So anyway,
shit up.
Go check that out. We want to get to a place where we're recording IRL podcasts like that, like video casts every week, probably with a different set and a slightly different setup. We'll see what we kind of settle on, but that's going to be dope when we can do that and post them all to YouTube. And
yeah, it'll be great.
Just basically have a fucking proper show, I guess. So that's going to be
sick. Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to that. So yeah, there you go. I mean, maybe we should close this bitch out. Not quite at an hour, but honestly, I don't give a fuck. So there you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah. Good. You guys got anything else to talk about?
This is
no, I'm good.
This is Australian Twitch Streamer of the Year signing off.
All right. Yeah. Well, flex, yep, okay. Sorry for missing a week. Sorry for missing a week with the podcast, but it was for the video cast. So hopefully it was worth it. Check that out on YouTube. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Misfits and YouTube, which is just Misfits as well. And,
wait, what about the merch? Are we plugging that?
We don't actually know how, but there's merch coming and we'll probably do it in post, so I don't know.
It'll be posted on the Misfits Twitter and the Misfits Instagram, so check it out there.
Yeah. We got merch. I'll probably put something in the beginning if we are promoting this episode, but buy some fucking merch. Get yourself some pre-orders in before Christmas. We got more shit dropping soon. It's popping. It's happening. This has been Logan Paul with Impulsive Podcast, and I'll check you guys out later. Bye.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.